Am I too late?
Pastor, you're on. You're up. Wonderful. Would everyone stand, please, for the invocation, and I'll be followed by the pledge.
All right. Let us pray. O Lord, our governor, bless the leaders of our land, that we may be a people at peace among ourselves and a blessing to other nations of the earth. Lord, keep this nation under your care. To the president and members of the cabinet, to governors of states, mayors of cities, and to all in administrative authority, grant wisdom and grace in the exercise of their duties. Give grace to your servants, O Lord. To senators and representatives and those who make our laws in states, cities, and towns, give courage, wisdom, and foresight to provide for the needs of all our people and to fulfill our obligations in the community of nations. Give grace to your servants, O Lord. To the judges and officers of our courts, give understanding and integrity that human rights may be safeguarded and justice served. Give grace to your servants, O Lord. And finally, teach our people to rely on your strength and to accept their responsibilities to their fellow citizens, that they may elect trustworthy leaders and make wise decisions for the well-being of our society, that we may serve you faithfully in our generation and honor your holy name. For yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Amen. And now, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, send down upon those who hold office in this city the spirit of wisdom, charity, and justice, that with steadfast purpose they may faithfully serve in their offices to promote the well-being of all people. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Would you join me in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Father, thank you very much.
Thank you. That's a wonderful meeting.
Our first agenda item is to approve the city council. Oh, I'm sorry, call for quorum, please.
Mayor Moss is present. Council member Contreras present. Councilmember Gillian present, Councilmember Renovon present, Mayor Pro Tem Lee Young present, and Councilman Crummel present.
Thank you. First item is to approve the council meetings, council minutes of the meeting October 11th, 2022. Do we have a motion, please?
Make a motion to approve the council minutes from October 11th.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any other questions or discussion? All in favor? Thank you. Item number three, to consider an act to award a street improvement contract to XIT Paving. Mr. Funderburg. I'm with everyone, I promise. Consider approval of a resolution denying Encore's requested electric rate increase. Bill.
City Council, this is in front of you tonight. We need by the end of October to either approve or deny the charge. Where staff is recommending that you deny it. It'll go back to the steering committee of the cities. It will be for our attorneys. We're part of that. The attorneys then will work on this rate, and then you'll probably see it later on at some point it'll be brought back to you. But we're staff is requesting you deny this request on the rate increase tonight.
Okay, any questions for Bill, or do we have a motion?
I move that the City Council approve the resolution denying Encore Electric Delivery Company's application for approval of a distribution cost recovery factor to increase distribution rates with the city.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any other questions or discussion? All in favor? Thank you. Now, item number three, to consider an act to award a street improvement contract to XIT Paving.
Mayor,
Derek?
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. So on Friday, we took bids on the street improvement project, five concrete streets, several asphalt streets, or 2D asphalt and concrete. We got four bidders. I believe you all now have a copy of the bid tab. This was just done on Friday, and so we got the bid tab done yesterday morning, so got it to you as quickly as we could. The low bidder was XIT Paving. They're doing a job for us right now. I'm familiar with them. We're comfortable with them as a contractor. The total on their bid, the bid tab you've got, has several sections. I set up the concrete streets to bid each separately. And then all of the asphalt streets were one lump sum as a separate bid schedule. So there's several bid schedules that go into the total. And then there's additive alternates on each one, pretty much each street, for drainage improvements. The bids were, the low bid was $6.419 million on the total for all of the bids, for all of the bid schedules. The other three bids range from, $7.7 million just over to $8.4 million for the highest. So there's a little bit of a range there. Between those three bids, there wasn't much, and the low bidder was quite a bit lower. I talked to them. They're comfortable with their bid. I'll tell you that I talked to them a lot before the bid. They called, they asked questions. Usually the bidders that are really interested in the job ask a lot of questions. They did. The low bidder did. The other ones I didn't hear a lot from, so that kind of explains a little bit of why their bids might be a little bit higher. But the low bidder is comfortable with their bid. They feel like it's a good bid, and so they don't have any issues with accepting it moving on. So our recommendation is to go with the low bid. If you look at the paving aspects, and not just the additive alternates, but the culverts and ditch work that's included in the base bid schedules, the total drainage component of this was $1.17 million, which is in the letter I sent. And so a lot of that is directly attributable to CIP items, capital improvement items, that are on the drainage plan project. And of the strictly street-related components, their bid was $5.249 million. And so if you look at it in those terms, the bids are pretty close to what the bond budget was, even though I had estimated it would probably be quite a bit higher. It is higher than the money, current bond amount available when you add in the engineering and other things, but it's quite a bit lower than expected. So we feel like we got some really good bids. But the total was $6.419, and we recommend award of that to XIT Paving.
Can you repeat that?
The amount of the bid? $6,419,677. That was the actual bid. I just wanted to point, a couple of things out. One is that also that I included in the recommendation letter is, since we are a little bit over the budget for what's in the bond, you need to be considering the fact that there are going to be contingencies in this project. I mean, we're taking up existing streets and dealing with existing neighborhoods, and so we're going to run into something along the way where there's going to be some kind of change that's going to require funds. And so I wouldn't want to go into a construction project like this without any contingency, or at least without being prepared for that fact. The other thing is, so that construction budget, the 6.419, and of that, the 5.249, which would be attributable to the streets, there's still $442,000 remaining in non-construction costs that would be in addition to that amount. So the total budget for the streets would be right at $5.7 million. Are there any questions about any?
But of the 6.4, 1.1 is drainage.
Yeah, 1.1, yes, 1.17 would presumably come out of the drainage project funds that are already allocated. But again, most of that is projects that were already allocated for that program anyway. We just did it in the street contract because it was part of the same, it was underneath the same streets that we're reconstructing. So the second phase of really the first phase of the drainage project is going in the paper tomorrow or Thursday. So we'll be getting bids on that pretty soon, but the numbers I'm getting right now look like we're going to be considerably under budget on that one as well. So the drainage project looks like it's in pretty fair shape budget-wise. So.
Did it give you any idea of timeline for performance of work?
For the streets, for this project? Mm-hmm. Well, there's 12 months in the contract for them to complete. We didn't talk in any great detail about it, but barring weather or any kind of unforeseen activities, I think they think they'll be done by June timeframe.
Question. Inside the bid, was there any warranty or anything that they have or maintenance that they do for X amount of time?
Yeah, there's a 12-month warranty after the date of completion and acceptance. So whatever date that is, if it's early summer or if it goes beyond, when we approve it and accept the project as being complete, then there would be 12 months from that point. So streets that are completed early first quarter of next year would have the same warranty in effect going 12 months from the completion date of the entire project. So.
Okay, so following your numbers, Derek, you had a $7 million number, but we have 5.2 for that has to come from the bond. You mentioned 400 something for engineering costs that have already been spent from that bond.
No, those are remaining to be spent.
Remaining to be spent.
Yeah.
So do we need to go out for additional funding for this contingency of 642 for that?
So you have 5.7 total.
Right.
I'm not sure what the exact balance of the bond is right now.
Okay.
I believe it's somewhere around 5.2.
Okay, that's what I think it is as well. So do we feel that we have, I'm gonna ask you, Bill, do we feel that we have enough that we can proceed at this point, award and start construction without having to go out
we to feel, issue staff debt? Tonight feels like that we're comfortable of no further debt on this project.
Okay.
And so we feel like we'll be looking at that contingency and trying to control that the best way we can, but if it happens, it happens. But even with that figured in, we do not see additional debt. And we're asking for our staff recommending approval of this contract.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions for Derek? Or do we have a motion, please?
In the motion, can you make sure that you announce the contractor name and the amount of the bid?
Okay.
I recommend that we accept the bid from XIT Paving and Construction for the total bid amount of $6,419,677.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other questions or discussion? All in favor? Thank you, Council.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you, Judges. Item number four, authorize the hiring of the city engineer. Bill, is that you?
That's me. Council, we have been discussing this position for several months, and as development has been coming in, and a lot of development, you'll see it in the report later on tonight, but we feel a need at this time to create the position of an internal city engineer. Believe that the work is there. Jacob Martin has been doing work and we've been paying for that, and we feel like that with the creation of this engineer position, that is work that we do not have to send out, such as inspection of retaining walls or having to meet with homeowners about drainage as Derek did last week. This engineer also will do plan review that we have sent off to Jacob and Martin, and so that will be happening as well. We see we have a need right now with street projects. Well, I think as I'm looking at the street project that's in front of us here tonight, I can see where that internal engineer is going to take some of that, and also working with Jacob and Martin has the possibility. We just feel like there has come to a point that there is a need for this engineer. And so we discussed it back in the summer to a great length, and then we decided, okay, we're just going to hold off. But in the recent 2 months, where the work and the possibility of the work that's coming in, we just feel like right now it is needed. And I think, or we think as staff, that this position will have enough work to go on for several years. And so we're asking for approval to create this position for an internal engineer. Questions?
Yeah, I got a question. The money for this position, that is going to come out of our contract work we have with Jacob and Watt, correct?
Yes.
So we believe that this is almost going to be a net wash, but we will have somebody here available, and if Mr. Turner's out doing something else, we have somebody here.
We have somebody here that we can ask questions at any time and get an answer, and that's what, as a city, that's going to be very helpful. Especially, we need answers, and we don't need to wait a lot of time. So you have somebody standing out in the foyer, they need to know. And so it would be a big help. If possible, we'll give them an answer sooner. But yes, if we're looking at this to be, if not a wash, very close to a wash of what we're contracting out right now. And just to let you know, 50% of that salary will come from water and the utility fund, and the other 50% from the general fund, because a lot of it is going to be the water and the sewer and things like that, and then get on the development side of the streets and things like that. So that's how the salary will be set up. Any other questions for Bill? Do we have a motion, please?
I authorize the city manager to hire a city engineer with benefits for a pay scale not to exceed $97,500.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any other questions?
What was the second? Thank you.
All in favor? Thank you. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Councilman. I think it's going to be a big help.
Item number 5, to accept the single audit report from Snow Garrett Williams, certified public accountants.
Reba's here. Reba, would you like to come to the podium, please? I'm sorry, Reba. I just went blank on your last name. I'm sorry. I just know Reba. I've heard Reba. And anyway, I apologize.
It's okay. I'm Reba Long. I'm a senior manager with Snow Garrett Williams, and I'm here tonight to present the single audit report for the fiscal year ended September 30th, 2021. I believe you all have a copy of our report in your packet. I actually just got the last piece of information I need from Crystal tonight, so we'll be able to issue the final report. The one you guys have is a draft copy, but there shouldn't be any significant changes.
Reba, can I hold you up?
Yes.
Is it in the packet?
It's not in the packet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was with. It's
okay.
Sitting
all right,
your
we
seat.
Got it. Everybody.
It says tentative on it.
We have it. Okay.
Yes.
If you flip past the first two pages, then you get the report.
Yes. So I just wanted to explain a little bit of background on while we're here on October 25th, 2022, presenting a fiscal year 21 audit. So as you know, your fiscal year 21 financial statement audit was performed by another firm. My firm was engaged over the summer after the city went out to bid for their new financial statement audit contract. And while we were out here this summer doing some preliminary audit work, Brian actually got an email from the Texas Division on Emergency Management asking, where's the city's fiscal year 21 single audit report? At Brian's request, I spoke back and forth with Tatum quite a bit, trying to figure out what happened and what we need to do to rectify the situation. I also reached out to the prior audit firm just to make sure that there wasn't anything that we were missing, that they knew that we weren't aware of why a single audit wasn't performed, and came to the conclusion that we needed to do one. So I did that just over these past couple of weeks. And have it here for you tonight. It was due to Tatum on June 30th, 2022. for an organization like the City Bullock Park that doesn't rely heavily on grant funding, it's there aren't really any repercussions of submitting late. It's not the most ideal. We would always want you to be on time going forward, but you won't. There are no sanctions or fines or penalties or anything for submitting late. So we'll just get this one done as soon as we can and submit it, and then stay current going forward. So that's how we got to where we are tonight. Just quickly, I know that the city hasn't had single audits in the past for many years. So a single audit is an audit of the financial statements, which the city gets every year, along with an audit of their federal grant award spending. So we do those two separate audit engagements together, and that's how we get the name single audit. The federal awards portion of the audit just tests how you managed your grant funds and ensures that the city complied with all the requirements attached to those grant funds as they spent them during the fiscal year that we're looking at. And it also tests that the city has sufficient internal controls to ensure that they're always in compliance with those requirements. So there's sort of a dual purpose to our tests there. Any organization that spends over $750,000 of federal grant funds in any given fiscal year is required to have a single audit. So you guys will have one for fiscal year 22 and probably 23, maybe 24, just depending on how you spend the bond funds that you have outstanding right now. And to do our single audit, we look at what's called the compliance supplement that's issued every year by the Federal Office of Management and Budget. And in that, each federal agency that issues grant funding lists out all the compliance requirements to each grant program. And so we go to that as auditors and see what were they allowed to spend these funds on, what period of time did they have to spend these funds, who's eligible to spend them, and test that you were in compliance with all of those requirements. So that's a little bit of background of what we did. I'm going to skip forward in the report to page 7. So that is your schedule of expenditures of federal awards. So this shows the expenses that were incurred during fiscal year 21 that were funded with federal awards. The biggest portion of that was the capitalization grants for drinking water state revolving funds. Y'all spent $9.6 million. That's actually a little bit of a unique program. Usually we see grant revenue and grant expense, but this is actually grant funding that's supporting your bond with Texas Water Development Board. And that bond is funding the waterline project in the city of Hudson Oaks. So as y'all spend money of that, spend those bond funds, that's spending federal awards. And so that's where we get that $9.6 million number. And then y'all also spent just a little bit of money from the Coronavirus Relief Fund that was passed through Texas Division of Emergency Management, which is why they were the ones that contacted asking for the single audit. Also during the year, the fiscal year 21, you passed through a little bit of the CRF funding to Aledo ISD for technology expenses that they incurred during their distance learning period, and that was $47,000. So we just show that y'all received that money and then passed it through to another entity. Questions there? Okay, the last thing I'll go over is over on page 9. This is the schedule of findings and question costs. This is a really good summary of the results of our single audit. So the top section there is the financial statement section, and it just says that the financial statements for the year ended September 30th, 2021 were audited by other auditors. But they did express an unmodified opinion on those financial statements and did not identify any non-compliance. In that middle section for federal awards, that's the testing that I did over the past few weeks. And that says that we did not identify any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in internal controls. We issued an unmodified report on compliance with the grant requirements for the program we tested, and we did not have any audit findings that were required to be reported. Right below that, we just identify the program we tested, which is that those drinking water state revolving funds. And in the very last part, the federal award findings and questions cost, we didn't have any to report. So clean audit opinion, all of the grant funding was spent in accordance with the compliance requirements. I will be testing this same program for fiscal year 22 because so much money has been spent out of it, and I expect to report the same thing here in, I guess, February or March. So that's all I have.
Any questions? Very good report. We have a motion to accept.
I move to accept and approve the single audit report as presented.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor? Thank you. Thank you, Rita.
Thank you.
Item number six, to accept the acoustical report from Snuff Soden and Associates. Bill
Pressburg, you want to step up podium, please? And City Council, back in July, we approved the contract with Soden Associates to look at the sound from the Parker County Ice House. And so, Topper, as you go by Topper, and I'll turn it over to you, sir.
Topper Cato, very good. Well, thank y'all very much. Pleased to be here and wonderful to support the community I've known for so long since El Chico built the original ranch house back there. But here to support what we can do to make it to continue to be a wonderful place to live in. We were contracted by you all a little after July when we first met with Bill, and we basically met to discuss the hardships you all were having with noise issues that were originating from the ice house, which is basically located at 210 Little Bend, which is south of I-20. And we received, when we first met with Brian, a map of locations of all people who had complained about the noise originating from that location. So we figured that was a great place to do an assessment and find out when we could find a good test source to perform those tests. So we looked at the ice house invitations and the advertised bands that were going to be playing. And we went to the project September 1st, at first just to look at the project, look over the project, and examine the loudspeaker systems that were of concern, and talk to the operations people involved in the sound system operation there, and also examine the standard functions that go on in this style of reinforcement. And September 1st was not a good time. That was the first day we had rain in about 3 months, I think, something like that. So they canceled the outdoor stage event and just had an event located underneath the shed of their facility, which blocks a lot of the sound that originates out from their facility and out into the park. And I spoke with their sound technician there, a gentleman named Mike, who works with the group that built and rents Mike to the facility. And they indicated basically that this is a normal setup for most events, except the large events where they charge more money for a staged event with a large band that will come in and play. So we looked and saw that October 1st there was a Guns N' Roses band that was going to be playing there, so we figured, well, this is a great resource. I also studied the Who in Atlanta, so I know we can find a good band to follow. You track them, and we did noise analysis following this, working with this band as they played. Now, we went to the project, and I asked Mike if they were operating with the upper loudspeakers off. They're are two sets of loudspeakers in this project, one on the left and one on the right looking at the stage, and there are four speakers in each array. And the top loudspeaker is pointing straight out over the fence, due north towards all the properties north and in this area. And on September 1st, I asked him, are you operating with those speakers off? And he said, yes, we are. We shut those off based on some complaints we were receiving. So I walked around and listened, and they were operating with those speakers off. And when the band started on September 1st, it was just one person under the shed, two speakers under the shed, so no impact at all. When the Guns N' Roses, they're called GNRX, when they were there, I paid my money at the door, walked to the outside edge. The guy said, you can't really go out there. You have to pay more money to go out there. I said, that's all right. Believe me, I'll be here about 5 minutes. So I walked out, walked around, took a look, noticed there were no additional loudspeakers or any rental equipment located on the stage or where the GNRX band was going to be operating. And I stated in the report that there were statements made that there were some rentals of portable equipment, roadshow equipment we call it, that were used for some events, but this was not observed at this event. I predict that's also one of the other items that they probably are avoiding using anymore because of complaints they've been receiving with additional equipment being used. But anyway, I walked around quickly. I noticed there was no special equipment, checked to make sure the upper speakers were off, and then went outside, and they were confused, but I left at that point and went outside and stood behind the fence at the property line, basically, and took measurements compliance with the ordinance that you all have published. And that's, as you all may not know, but that's ordinance number 56607 for the city of Willow Park, and that's the ordinance that discusses all the noise-based issues in the park. So we took measurements there and found that the band playing there with the fence, the existing fence that they have, was operating just above the 85 dBA limit. They were peaking about 89 at the fence line, and they needed literally to have a little more isolation of the band to the outside. But then I went and took measurements at the 11 different locations. Taking measurements at the locations, I was reading the noise ordinance, and some of the ordinance statements indicate a definition of a noise disturbance. That's any sound which disturbs or which causes or tends to cause an adverse psychological or physiological effect upon the possibilities of a reasonably prudent adult person. Any unreasonable, loud, or disturbing noise which is offensive to the sensibilities of a reasonably prudent adult person, and any unreasonably loud or disturbing noise which materially interferes with the enjoyment of life, health, or property, or interferes with others. Now, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not going to state what this implies, but the interest, of course, is to avoid any disturbance to any person living in the area from any noise source created. So what we did is we took 11 measurements throughout the site, and those are published in the report in a map. Four of the noise locations were actually, more than four, were located actually beyond 1 mile distance from that property. The noise at those locations was in ambient noise. It basically when we were taking measurements, I could hear when the band stopped playing and when the band started playing. And there was no sound level variance between the ambient noise and the noise you hear from the band. Now, this is perceptive noise because this is noise that may be irritating to some people, but it is not a measurable impact of noise. So the issue is none of the noise generated in the residential areas could be measured above the ambient noise actually measured at those sites. But I could hear when the band was playing, and there are specific statements that I made at each site, some recommended items as at position four, I heard I-20 traffic and cicada noise, which was the greatest observed ambient noise at the location. The sound levels were affected by dogs and irritated by our presence in the area. By the way, I didn't walk on any properties. I walked on the streets, so don't shoot me. But basically, we did not hear any sound originating from the facility at location four and location five. Now, at location three, though, we detected snare drums and drum stick noise just below the ambient noise level. In other words, I could hear that they were playing drums, and I could hear sometimes a person was singing, but it's only my perception of their singing because it's still below the ambient noise of the space. So this is a tough process to review and examine. We basically reviewed our observations and provided a series of recommendations, which honestly, some are expensive and some of them are free. And the processes are typically mitigation of noise at the origin of sound, because anything beyond that would have to be applied to the whole community. And that's definitely not cost-effective to solve. So anyway, in conclusion, in the report, we provided five different recommendations. And let me describe each of these recommendations. One of the statements they made was they operate to 10 p.m. at night. And the ordinance says any sound generated after 9 p.m. at night is subject to a 70 dB limit, which would be impossible for a band to perform on a stage after 9 p.m. Now, they modified their event schedules, but I don't think they were aware of what the ordinance actually states what the times were, and this is just my guess because I did not receive any input from either the operator of the facility or any of the people working at the facility that they knew what the noise times were and what impact that had. So if they modify their program schedule so they'll start at 7:30 and stop at 9 o'clock, they're below your 70 dB noise ordinance criteria, therefore making them more compliant with the ordinance and also less complaints from people after 9 o'clock at night, anyway. The second point is provide modifications to the existing sound system to limit system output levels to comply with the ordinance. When we were doing measurements at the property line, we actually saw peak levels above the 85 dBA level. Now, peak is a term that is deferred to another form of measurement, but the maximum level we observed was 89, and our normal average was 79 to 80, and all of these are published in the back of the report. So basically, modification of the sound system to limit their levels to be within the ordinance limit would make them not in violation of the ordinance. So that would also mitigate the noise emanating and the persistent transmission of noise north from the facility at that point. The third one is expensive, but it's modify the fence construction of the north audience fence facing Willow Crossing Drive. The existing fence is a 6 foot, which the original approved plans for that project was 6 foot high wood fence, but it wasn't stated how the fence was to be constructed. And the fence, I indicated in a photo, they're staggered boards, so the fence is very leaky. Everything just goes right through the fence. Now, there is some obstruction of sound, but it's a leaky fence. So building a fence of higher construction height, 12 feet, actually would provide 6 or 7 dB additional noise mitigation originating from the site. So they could operate at the levels they are at now and still be within the existing ordinance laws. And again, further out, the other measurements made outside would be further reduced on the order of 6 to 7 dB. And honestly, the 6 or 7 dB reduction from existing environmental noise measured would make it almost unperceivable at those locations. But that's another one. The fence width is 78 feet. It literally is the whole fence that extends from the stage to the north. So the fourth one is a simple one that they can buy relatively cost effectively, like at $150. And it's, I was indicated that their sound operator, Mike, was walking around taking measurements of the band while the band was playing. And that's well and good if Mike's got time to make measurements of the band and then go up and tell the band that they have to play at a lower volume. The recommended display puts a statement on the fence that tells them how loud they are. And they can see how loud they're playing, so they can see when they're in violation right away. So if a band is aware of the noise they're generating and the possible risk they're taking on with fines, they will operate at a lower level with a direct observation of the level they're running at. This is a $150 piece you can buy at Amazon. So that's a very cost-effective piece that could be implemented. And then the fifth one is something that Bill and I talked about. What can we do to provide a continuous monitor if they are in violation and we have to call the police, which come up and they can take measurements, but it's an intermittent process that's harder to enforce. So this is a pole-mounted monitor system that would be located at the fence, just above the 12-foot fence that I recommended in item 3. But place it above the fence. It measures real-time all of the sound levels observed at the site at that point and transmits by wireless phone technology directly to the city computer or to another computer that you all set up to operate. So it's fully monitored all the time. Any exceptions are brought up. It's a notifiable enforcement point of concern. And that's the most expensive part, of course. But all of these items, in my observation, the only benefit of operating at high noise levels in Willow Park is from the profit earned from the ticket sale and the van. So my recommendation would be for the city to pursue the facility for resolution of those issues, following some of these recommendations or follow other recommendations they might offer to help mitigate the noise. We noticed that there were no complaints south of the property, but the almost all of the property blocks the band, except I also provided a recommendation to fence directly behind the stage, because the stage also points to the south. And there's some pretty nice ranches just south of there. So anyway, but that's about it. All of the ordinance is based on things like sound being reinforced within 300 feet of any residence or quiet zone, and 300 feet barely gets you across I-20 to the north. So it's hard to find any of these points that literally is a direct lack of compliance, with the exception of sound levels exceeding 85 dBA between 8 a.m. and 9 p.m. Because they do operate from 8:30 to 10 at this point in time, and they were generating noises above 85 at that point in time. So that's about it. Are there any questions? Anybody have any questions? I know it's a lot of information.
But you're saying for the most part, the band was below the noise level.
Yes.
For the most part.
Yes. The way the ordinance is written, most complaints are originated with continuous noise lasting more than 60 seconds. And no band will play at the same volume for 60 seconds. Well, some do, but now, I was expecting Guns N' Roses to, actually. But there's too much intermittence between different beats of the drum that makes it an inconsistent 60-second measurement. So literally, with the exception of the maximum level going above 85, we measured a maximum A scale, slow average level of 89. At one point at the fence, or at the property line. So that was the only point exception. And then performance beyond 9 p.m.
Okay, so my question is could staff take this report and break it down to things that we could do? If we need to make ordinance changes, if there's some investment we want to do for equipment, and you know, may not be available this budget cycle, but next year, and see what the recommendations are in the next meeting?
Yes. In fact, we got this report just last Thursday ourselves. So staff hasn't had time to really look at this in detail. And so tonight, the staff, talked to Brian, we want to do what you're saying, Greg. We want to look at this situation and talk it over. We'll probably call Topper again and get some more advice. But we're going to look at our ordinance and all these recommendations. We'll probably meet with the Ice House as well. And then we will come back to City Council and with some type of outcome or plan or whatever we're going to do. But we need time to look at this situation.
So tonight, we're going to accept the report.
You're just accepting the report. There's no action. Just accept the report tonight.
Okay.
My questions would be, did you note the wind speed and direction on that? On the Guns N' Roses.
Actually, the wind speed and direction were of no impact on the levels. It was relatively low.
Okay. The complaints have come on high wind speeds from the south, and I don't believe at that date.
I don't believe that's
was an issue. So I'm curious that we still need to potentially address that. You mentioned measuring at property level, and I know that your recommendations for the measurements would be above fence line. Because I'm curious how that plays into it, whether with those upper speakers off, if they remain off, when you put some, the sound up higher above the fence, if measuring those decibels above the fence line, if there's a difference between 6 foot off the ground versus 12 foot up the ground, and how far it's able to carry, especially with the wind direction. So I know we're formulating some questions and how we would address it, but that would be some of the things I'd look at. You talked about 9 p.m. I think the idea of potential a permit to go beyond our standard time of 8 p.m. or whatever, if there's an event every once in a while. But those are kind of some of the things I'm curious whether we need to work those specific things in, because I do think the complaints came when the wind direction was carrying it, and I don't know what those decibels were those nights. So, but
well,
we will if we put a monitor there, won't we?
Well, actually, no.
Okay.
You'll find out how fast the wind is blowing.
Well, no, I mean, if we have a monitor at the fence line in the future, we'll know.
Oh, well, the fence line levels measured are of no impact on the wind.
Okay.
If the wind was blowing 60 miles an hour to the south, I'd still receive the same sound pressure lines.
So residents that are to the north of the freeway, if wind or any other environmental factors were pushing potential volume across the highway, I guess they would it then go above ambient air or ambient noise?
It would never get there.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. But the point is also the thermal effects have more impact actually than wind effects.
Okay.
You had at a football game, the Rose Bowl. I worked the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The Rose Bowl, they fire from the end zone. They fire all the way across the end zone, the opposite side, and then it dumps on the community right there. And literally the thermal effect, the thermal shift of a warm concrete and cool foliage beyond draws the sound down into the foliage.
Wow.
But there is a discussion regarding transmission of sound and the attenuation over distance that's in the report that I included just for that purpose.
Okay.
So you all can examine that. And I've got plenty of money in the bank to assist you all in discussions and help you all also with this.
Do we have a motion to accept the report?
Can I ask one more thing real quick? Were there any, maybe Bill or Chief, were there any complaints the night of the concert that was measured?
I believe there was. Were there, Chief? Now on October 1?
We have not had complaints that I know of in a long time. Since the last...
Since they turned the top speakers off.
Since we heard them. Yes, here. Okay.
I can double check that, but I don't know.
Just curious.
Okay. Any other questions? Motion to accept the report.
Make a motion to accept the acoustical report from Snow and Associates as presented.
Second?
Second. Council, we'll be back in touch probably within 60 days.
There'll be a lot more discussion on this.
There will.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you
all very much. Appreciate it.
Tony, you're up.
First, we have no video. We had video, we had no sound, so we've gotten bashed for that, so you're welcome. So I've killed the video completely now because everybody was chiming in, and before people that were watching were not happy and they couldn't hear anything, so I've just killed the video.
On a night when we talked about sound.
Of course. Yeah. Rose told me halfway through that we have no sound. I'm like, I had my phone on mute because I'm sitting in your office in the meeting, so I didn't know we had no sound. And so, anyway, there you go. You get what you get. That's what happens when I take over the sound booth. So, sorry. Yeah.
Already lost them.
Well, I'm just going to sit down. We have no sound. Just to go through this real quick, July 27th to September 30th, we processed 242 permits. They're in different areas, but you can see the ones I highlighted were the new building permit. It says 7, but there were actually only 5 new projects underway. If you look on page 2, number 12 through 16 are the new commercial projects that we're working on. As you can see, they're quite involved. One of those for the number, for the seven that was in there, one was an addition at 201 Canyon Court. It was addition to the preschool that's over there, or daycare. And then one was a proposed medical building that's at 221 Stagecoach Trail that is on hold by the owner. So that's why it says seven on there, but there's only five on the next page that are new. And then there are 14 single family dwellings. And you can read the rest of what we're doing. Any questions?
Very good.
Thanks.
That's why I pointed out the 242 permits. These were very, they could be plumbing and they could be electrical, but they're all time consuming. And going back, as you look at these numbers, this is where the in-house city engineer is going to be so helpful. I really believe that. So thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Okay, council comments.
Early voting has started. I would encourage everybody to get out and vote.
Yes, indeed. Anything else? I'd like to thank this council and staff for the last 5 years, and this is not a goodbye speech, so don't get your hopes up, for doing things the right way. The 5 years that I've been able to serve as mayor, I've served several years with Greg, Leah, and some of you are kind of new, but I appreciate the camaraderie we have. We don't always agree on everything, but we always find common ground. I appreciate that very much. And doing it the right way. I don't know in 5 years that we've ever cut a corner, we've ever done something that, there's an old saying, never make a decision you can't defend. I think this decisions this council have made, we can defend each one of them. And I'm happy to be a part of a group that's transparent, does things the right way, and I appreciate each and every one of you for the job you do. So I will be at the next council meeting. So, with that said, Brian's not here, so that's short-winded.
Oh, I'm ready to go. Go. Are you ready to go?
Motion to adjourn.
We'll adjourn.
6:56.